Galatians chapter 5 is a passage that we'll be kind of examining and getting kind of the principles of it. Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 1, it says, "Stand fast, therefore, in liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith that worketh by love. Ye did run well, who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. For, brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." Let's pray. Dear Father, we just pray your blessing upon us as we look into this passage and to different thoughts this day. Help us to find the balance in what you would have for us to do, the path you would have for us to walk as your people. We just pray your blessing upon us this afternoon. In Jesus' name, amen. And as we looked at in the introductory message on this topic, as believers, it's necessary for us to have balance in our Christian life. That we don't just have two stark choices of right on one side and wrong on the other side. The reality is that the path that we are to walk is a straight and narrow path, on either side of which are ditches of error. And in seeking to avoid one ditch, we need to also take heed lest we fall into the other ditch. And, of course, as believers, we don't want to be swerving from one ditch to another. We want to have a stability to our lives, a steadfastness. And it's based upon as we follow the Word, that we don't add to what the Word says, we don't take away from what the Word says. But nevertheless, as we shall see in this topic we're studying today and then in other topics we're going to look at, it's not always easy to find that balance. That straight and narrow path sometimes seems to be so narrow that it feels like we're trying to walk on a knife's edge. And so as we go through this series highlighting different areas of doctrine and conduct, I'm not going to try to tell you exactly where that line is, because for me to presume to say, well, I have the perfect balance in my life and everybody else is wrong would be very presumptuous of me. But what I am hoping to accomplish is to lay out to you the two extremes, give you an idea of what the true path is, and leave it to you as you study the Word yourself and as you seek the Spirit's guidance that you would find that balance that God wants each of us to have as His people. And so the topic we want to look at today is a fairly broad topic, which can be applied to a multitude of areas in the Christian life. And as with so many other topics we shall touch upon, this is something that believers have struggled with for ages in finding the balancing. That all through centuries that we see different controversies that come up, and sometimes we have things that come up today and we wonder, well, this is just something new, and we actually find out, well, no, this was around even just a few centuries after Christ came. And so it's something to understand that, but we realize too with this, it's an important topic to consider as it deals with how we as believers are to live our lives after we're saved. And that's the thought of, as a believer, that we understand, and it's important that we understand our salvation and have assurance of our salvation, but then we kind of have that question, well, now what? What am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to live? And we can get sidetracked, and especially as young Christians, not necessarily knowing what's right, and so we want to figure that out. And so the topic we want to look at today is find the balance between what has been referred to as Phariseeism or asceticism, but which today we'll refer to specifically as legalism, and what has been referred to in history as antinomianism, but which we will refer to as license. And so the first, legalism, we would define as the belief and practice that is necessary for one to follow a strict set of laws in order that we would either maintain our fellowship or even our relationship with God. And immediately we would reject the latter thought, that because we're saved by grace through faith in Christ alone, we don't do good works in order to be saved or to stay saved. We do good works because we are saved. But nevertheless, that is a teaching we recognize to have been spread a lot amongst early Christians by those referred to as the Judaizers. And that's what Galatians is really focusing upon, is dealing with their false teaching. And it was, their idea was that the Gentile believers, they had to follow the Mosaic law. They had to follow the different rituals. They had to be circumcised. And if they weren't, they could not be saved. They essentially had to become Jewish before they could become a Christian. And there was this expectation that they would conform to the Mosaic law in order that they would be certain of their salvation. And we see with the Pharisees of Jesus' day that the same way of thinking, this idea of is keeping the law as being one source of righteousness, to the point that the Pharisees, they saw no need of Christ. They figured, well, as Jesus said, is like they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick, that they actually were as sick as the others, but they didn't realize it. They thought that they were fine, but they were as needy as anybody else. And so they thought, well, I have my righteousness in keeping the law, and so I'd have no need of someone to come and pay for my sins and to save me by grace. And so we would immediately recognize that the idea of needing to keep a strict set of laws in order to maintain our salvation and our relationship with God, that that's an error. But the other thought, that we must keep a strict set of laws in order to maintain our fellowship with God, then that's one that we want to think about more and contemplate. Because really, you think about it, the original motivation of one who may become legalistic is good. They want to be in close fellowship with the Lord. They want to be pleasing to God. They want to honor God in His Word so that their prayers might be answered, so their lives might be blessed. But the problem comes when an individual is trying to make sure that they are following the Word. And in doing so, they make additions to the expectations and the responsibilities that the Word lays out for us. When we consider the history of the group that came to be known as the Pharisees, that we actually find that they started off really well. That Pharisees means separated ones. And what happened, they kind of emerged during the intertestamental period, where you had Greeks basically ruling over the Jewish nation, and they were very focused on spreading Greek culture into the lands that they occupied. It was called Hellenization. And so they were basically trying to turn the Jews into Greeks. And you have the party that came to be known as the Sadducees, that were actually the priests that were the ones that were like the religious and political leaders, that they actually turned fully over to Greek thought. And that's why they didn't believe in the resurrection and other things like that. But the Pharisees, they stood against that and said, we're not going along with this, that we want to stay true to the Word. And we're not going to be drawn away by all this philosophy and other things. And so they started out good, but something happened. And they lost their focus. And they became so focused on the smallest details of the law that they just lost their whole vision of what they were supposed to be doing. And we find that they added so much commentary and tradition to what God declared, that there was different things about washing, ritual purification in the Mosaic law. And so they had all this whole list of how to wash cups and plates and all these different things they had to do. And we find that even today, as we study Jewish culture and some of the things that they do, that someone that's Jewish, Orthodox Jewish, will have two separate meals. One that is meat and one that is dairy. And the reason for that is they take the verse, "Thou shalt not see the kid in his mother's milk," and they take it, well, if I ate meat and dairy together in my mouth, that would be like boiling the kid in its own mother's milk, and so I'm not going to do that. Whereas we would look at it, well, no, it doesn't say you can't boil a kid in another mother's milk. It just says not in its own mother's milk, kind of thing. But it's taking it too far. And we find that was something that Christ really got after with them about, is that all their traditions that they held, and he said that in some areas they even made the commandments of God of none effect by their traditions, that they kind of canceled out what God told them to do by their tradition of how to keep it. And we can think about it in the same way, that we as Christians would be trying to do right, we want to be different from the world, but we can get out of balance as well on this. And that's why Paul gives several warnings against this, of different things. We see in Colossians chapter 2, there's the verse, "Beware let any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." Verses 16 and 17 says, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect of any holy day or the new moon or the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ." In verse 20 of that same chapter, "Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances, touch not, taste not, handle not, which are all to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men?" And so it's that question, don't get involved with this. Don't be subject to these things. You don't have to be, that it's not necessary. And we see as well in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 4, it says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth." That it's, they're putting these different rules that weren't part of what they were told to do. There wasn't any thing in the scriptures where there was supposed to be this abstinence from marriage as believers, that we see in 1 Corinthians 7, that the principles that Paul gives, that if it's possible, it's not a bad thing to be single and serve the Lord, but for some that it's better to be married. And it's just not a big deal, but they forbid the married command to abstain from meats, and there was nothing, no reason for that we think of with Peter, of how they had that vision, arise, slay and eat, that things were different now, that there wasn't this necessity to hold on to these different principles of what to eat and what not to eat. Instead they're to receive whatever they had with thanksgiving. And so we think of all that there's these different false teachers out there, they're leading believers astray, they're laying upon them burdens that God never expected anyone to carry. And such teachers and such individuals that followed them, even though we would say, well, their goal is to please God, we find that actually they end up being displeasing to God. Instead of becoming truly righteous, they only become self-righteous. The externals are focused upon, but the heart is never truly changed. And very well, it's as Christ spoke of the Pharisees, he said that there is whitewashed sepulchres, that they were cleaned up on the outside, they appeared beautiful on the outside, but within were full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. There was nothing that changed in the heart. And we think of some of those, that even as we read in different passages in the scripture, that these ones who were self-righteous, who were legalistic, that they were expecting, and in fact they were even demanding God's blessing upon their lives. We think in Isaiah 58 where it talks about these ones are saying, well, why have we fasted, Lord, and why haven't you answered us? It was kind of the thought, we've done all these religious things, we expect, we even almost demand of you that you respond to us. And then they're wondering, why is God not responding? And the problem was, is their hearts were wrong, that they were mistreating one another. That some was was just not right. It was out of balance. That they were looking for God's blessing, but they weren't finding it. They were assuming that they were close to God, closer than anyone else, that they were holier than anyone else, when in reality that they were far from God and that they had deceived themselves. And I think many of us have at certain times met with someone who has been legalistic, and I think at certain times that someone that we've met that's been kind of legalistic might have been the one that we've looked in the mirror, that we realize, okay, maybe I'm going a little bit too far on this part. I'm kind of getting a little too carried away at this. And we realize, we see that, we see where it ends, we don't want to be like that. We don't want to be a Pharisee. But in stepping away from legalism, we must beware of the other ditch of error, and that is license. License we would define as the belief and practice of one who would say, well, salvation is, it's all of grace, it's not of works, and we would agree with that. Say, well, once saved, the person's always saved, and we would agree with that too. And they would say, well, God still loves me no matter what, so that means I have the freedom to live however I want, and it doesn't matter. I'm not under the law. There's no certain codes of conduct I need to follow, and therefore I have the license as a Christian to indulge the flesh. And no one has the right to judge or condemn me for that. And we can tell something is immediately wrong with that thinking. We realize Jesus came to save his people from their sins. And if he came to save us from their sins, it wouldn't make sense that he'd then give us permission to just delve back into them. That just doesn't seem to make sense. And he left us an example that we should follow his steps. He was holy, and so we as Christians, we need to be holy. We recognize it does matter how we live, because we're supposed to be ambassadors for Christ. We're supposed to be a testimony to others of God's grace at work in our life, of transforming us from being sinners and now being made into saints and into God's children. And true, God's love for us will never change for us, no matter what we do. But as it says in Hebrews 13, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And so we understand the principle. If we persist in sin as believers, it is definitely not going to be in our best interest to do so. And as Paul says in Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, it says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And his answer is, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? And as well, verses 14 and 15 of that same chapter, he says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. That's right. That's not what God wants for us. And we realize that neither legalism nor license is where God wants us to be as believers. Those are the ditches of error. But we often find ourselves going from one extreme to the other. And often we can find ourselves fighting with each other as Christians, where we're each convinced of being right, that we would say, well, you're too legalistic, or you're just too worldly. And a lot of times we'll find, as Christians, when we argue with each other, a lot of times both of us can be wrong at the same time, that we're on different extremes. And there's numerous examples that we could think of with this, and I just want to consider just two that come up, and they can be a great source of contention, and that's not what we're going through them for, to just kind of stir up a hornet's nest, but it's the idea just to recognize that these are things that are out there that deal with this issue. One could be how we look at the Lord's Day, a Sunday, that one could look at the scriptures and say, well, it's part of the Ten Commandments. We're supposed to remember the Sabbath, keep it holy. We're to work 6 days, rest on the seventh. We think, well, Sunday has become the Christian Sabbath. And I submit to you, like, even though that's how we look at it, to find a clear scriptural basis of how it's completely transferred over, that's, it's not an easy thing to just see as thus saith the Lord, Saturday is now Sunday to Christians, and it ever will be after that. It's not as clear as we might think it might be. But it's with that thought that it's become the Christian Sabbath, and so for anyone that is a Christian, to work or to play or do anything that is not God-focused on Sunday is to be in complete disobedience to God. But then someone would say, well, no, Sunday is not the Christian Sabbath. It's not necessary to be so restrictive. I can worship the Lord any day of the week. And someone could say that, but for the same person would say, well, it doesn't matter about that. But then the day of the Lord, Sunday, does not become a special day to them, that they might spend time working or shopping or going to a game or hunting or fishing, and all these other things kind of creep in, and so it doesn't become a day to give to the Lord. We would say, well, that's not right too. There shouldn't be all these other things that crowd out our time of worshiping God and being with God's people. Something is wrong with that, that we're not to forsake the assembly of ourselves together. And so we think, well, church should be a priority to us as Christians. We should be making time for that. But we recognize where people are, that depending on the situation we're in, that's not always possible. But with this, we need to find the balance in that. I knew of one fellow that his wife got saved, and then he got saved shortly after, and he was the owner of a marina. And that was his business, that was his livelihood. And he was newly saved, and he had the pastor tell him, well, if you want to get baptized and you want to join this church, you need to close down your marina on Sundays. And you think about that, that's a pretty big step of faith for a baby Christian. This is his livelihood, and to be able to do that. And certainly, I believe that if a person makes God a priority, that God can bless you and make things more productive for you, more profitable for you in 6 days than you ever were in 7 days. But nevertheless, we realize that's not an easy decision to make, especially when you're a baby Christian. And it's something to kind of work out gradually, to see, well, maybe I could get someone else, I could hire somebody to fill in on that day for me, or maybe I could just close it for like the Sunday service, have it open for the rest, or like kind of get to that point. But for that same individual to say, well, that's legalistic, that's just not right, but then for that person to never ever make an attempt to ever come to church, and that wouldn't be right either. And so thinking of that, it's finding the balance, and sometimes we react against one person or that's going way too far, but then we go too far the other way, and we both end up in the wrong place. Another area could be in terms of what a person should wear. We would see the principles that a man is supposed to dress like a man, a woman is supposed to dress like a woman. There's to be a distinction between the genders as to how they dress and how they conduct themselves. As well, there's a principle of us as Christians, we're to dress modestly. We're not to show off our bodies, to not wear a bunch of fancy clothes and jewelry to draw people's attention to us. And those principles, we would say, well, that's fairly straightforward, but we recognize there to be extremes on one side or the other. And you could have this, and this is not, believe me, this is not a hypothetical situation. You could have a pastor say to the women of the church, well, all of you must always wear skirts or dresses. They must always be ankle length, there's no slits allowed, slits are of the devil, and they must not be tight-fitting at all, and any of you who fail to follow these rules must obviously be in rebellion against God and will be subject to church discipline. That we would say, well, something is wrong with that. That's going way too far, and it's really not someone's, it's certainly not a pastor's role to try to tell the women of the church how they should wear. That something's not right with that. But we would say, to say to a young person, well, it doesn't matter what you wear, just kind of anything goes, just however you feel like, well, we would say, well, that's not right either. There are these principles, and it's learning to apply these principles that God has given us. We would say, well, legalism adds to God's word. That it's like, well, this is the principles God gives, and so in order to do this, these are the rules that you have to have. But then license is taking away from God's word. They say, well, no, disregard that one, disregard that, it doesn't matter anymore. Just God loves you and you're good to go, kind of thing. But we realize that each of us, we need to study the scriptures for ourselves. We need to be guided by its principles. And then each of us needs to make choices based on those principles. And so as mentioned in our introductory message of this series, even though we look at these two ditches of error, legalism and license, and to us they would seem to be diametrically opposed to each other, we actually find that they both lead us to the same place. That with both legalism and license, we as Christians are operating in the flesh. That with license, we're indulging the flesh. We're allowing it to continue to be our master. But with legalism, what we're doing is we're trying to keep God's word in the flesh. By our own power, by our own strength, we end up cleaning the outside of us, but the sin remains within us. And with both legalism and license, we become stumbling blocks to others in coming to Christ. Because if we follow after license, we're not a testimony that people say, well, you're a Christian and you do that. It gets in the way of them accepting Christ. But then we think of someone that's a Pharisee that say, well, I'm holier than thou. Get away from me. You're dirty compared to me. You should do this. I'm going to tell you all that you should do. But then in my own life, I don't actually do it myself. That as Paul said of those that did that, that the name of God is blasphemed amongst the Gentiles through you. And so it's a serious thing that with both, they're a stumbling block to someone in coming to Christ. And with both legalism and license, we're led to pride. With legalism, we have the pride of this thought, well, I'm better than this person. I'm closer to God. God's going to bless my life and not their life because I'm keeping His commands and they're not. But with license, we have the pride of thinking, well, God's commands need not apply to me, that I'm free, I can be my own boss, I can decide for myself if I want to keep that or not, and God still loves me, and so it doesn't matter. And I think that the pride part can be what can be the greatest warning to us that we are out of balance in this. That if we start looking down on someone who is either has higher standards than we might have, or they might have lower standards than we might have. Or we try to put them down to make ourselves feel better. That's what can happen. And even it can happen amongst us as believers that, for instance, you could have someone that would say they come to church and they figure, well, I want to really show honor and respect to the Lord, so I'm going to always wear a suit. And that's how I'm going to show respect to the Lord. And then they walk in and someone's not wearing a suit and they say, well, boy, that person must not be having the same respect for God as me. Or someone else might see that person walking in with a suit and say, well, oh, that must be a hypocrite. He's just dressing up on the outside, but he's not really changed on the inside. And we can make those judgments, snap judgments, and figure out, well, this is what that person's heart is, and they're not as dedicated to the Lord as me. They're out of balance, but I've got it just right. And when that happens, a light needs to come on and say, wait a minute, am I got this all right? If I'm looking down upon someone else, if I'm not loving them, if I'm not helping them, something's wrong. And that can be that maybe someone hasn't been taught in something. Maybe they're trying to do the best as they know how. And they need someone to be kind of like Quill and Priscilla to Apollos. They need someone to come alongside them and explain the ways of God more perfectly unto them. And we recognize as well that with both legalism and with license, that they lead us into bondage. That legalism is bondage to the letter of the law and license is the bondage to sin. That we see that in that passage that we read earlier in Galatians where it says, stand fast in liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. That this whole burden, that if you have to keep the whole law, you can never break from it. If you do, there's condemnation. God's not going to bless you. That's bondage. But as well, we recognize that there's a warning on the other side where it says, use not liberty as an occasion to the flesh. Because if we do that, that it brings us into bondage as well. Peter warns in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 19 And it says of these ones that are false teachers, it says, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption, for of whom the man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. And that's the thing, that we sin brings us into bondage. If we indulge in sin, if we indulge the flesh, it will control us instead of the spirit. And we don't want that. And we need to flee from that. But legalism is no better, that it leads us into bondage as well. And so we want to find what is the true path. And the true path which God wants for us as believers is not legalism, it is not license, it is what we would define as liberty. And that's what we see in the passage that we read of, where it says, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. That we have been called unto liberty, we're not to use liberty as an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. That in liberty, we're not walking after the flesh anymore. That in liberty, we're walking after the Spirit. As Paul talks about in Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 1. Romans chapter 8, beginning verse 1, says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. It's the thought that we're walking in the Spirit, that we, and it talks about that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. God still wants us to be righteous. He doesn't want us to be self-righteous. He wants us to have that righteousness that comes from God, that's what we operate in, as the Spirit empowers us, that we're transformed, that we're not just sinners that have been saved by grace and we're just trying to do the best we can, that we're sinners that are living by grace and we're becoming saints, we're becoming transformed, we're being made holy as He is holy. That it's the thought that we're not in bondage either to sin or to the law, but we're free to serve God. And we're serving and obey God not just out of duty, not out of fear, but out of love. Because of what He has done for me, I am going to dedicate my life to His service. That these things that before were so burdensome for me to let go of, that it was so precious to me, that I love Him more, and so I'm letting that go. And it's making those decisions. That it's the thought that we're not free to sin, but instead it's the idea that God has given us the liberty to be free from sin. That day by day, we can learn how to become practically holy. That it isn't just cleaning up the outside, but instead that we're clean from the inside out. That what we do or what we don't do, that does not determine the strength of our relationship with God. But rather, it is the strength of our relationship with God that affects what we do or do not do. That there's things that happen is that you think of trying to encourage someone to do right, and we can sometimes try to make different laws. Well, you need to stop doing this, you need to start doing this, and then you'll have a good, happy life. And so they do the best they can, and they're trying to do that, but it's just that burden they're trying to accomplish. But if we can instruct someone and give them a sense of just how much God loves them, God's plan and hope for them, that as they see that, there'll be a lot of these things that you don't have to tell them, well, you need to stop this in your life, but it'll just kind of fade away. Because it's just, compared to the Lord, this is not important to me anymore. That this used to be such a big deal, and now it's just in the background. That it's part of my life, but it's in the right place. It isn't a fight between it and God in my life. That God is one, and it's put in its proper place. That with all of that, that we daily become transformed. That we study the principles of God's Word, and it affects the choices we make. That there's some things that we start doing, there's other things we stop doing out of love for the Lord and love for others. That we We take some in the scriptures and we look at it and say, well, okay, well, that's what it says and that's what I understand. Well, how can I apply that now to my life? Can I apply it to this area? And so we start making some changes in our life as the Lord empowers us. But then as we seek, well, Lord, is there other areas that I'm missing that this applies to too? And so then we read it. And then the Lord brings something else to our mind. And says, well, this area is kind of in a blind spot. It definitely applies to that area too. And so then, okay, I need to do that. I need to make this change. And it's not this outward kind of imposition of laws, you must do this. It's instead getting the law within a person and having it transform us from the inside out as we surrender our lives to it and we seek to draw close to the Lord. And with it all, that as we follow the path of liberty, we don't become full of pride, that we're humble, that we do this because it's what I'm supposed to do, that I want to do it, that God has done so much for me, He's given up so much for me, I'm willing to give this up for Him. This is not a big deal. I'm not going to make this big announcement to everyone. Well, look what I've done. I've had this stuff in my life, and now I've gone and thrown it in the dumpster and set it on fire just to show how righteous I am, kind of thing. That it's not a necessary thing to draw attention to. It's instead making changes and bringing the glory to the Lord. And so it's understanding that and realizing that there are those paths of error, those ditches of error on either side of us, of legalism and license. And with different things, we can get out of focus, and we can wander off one way and just try to get very rigid, and especially be rigid with other people, and even as parents, that it can be something that we can become very rigid sometimes too with what we lay down for what the kids are to do. But then we can think, whoa, I went way too far that way, and so then we go the other way too, and then it's like, well, we just kind of, well, whatever, doesn't matter. And then we realize, well, no, that's not the answer. That's just opened up a whole new can of worms. And so finding that balance, that what does God's Word say? I don't want to add to it. I don't want to take away from it. There's some things for others that they have to kind of come under an understanding of it, understand those principles for themselves and apply it. And it's not kind of looking at them and say, well, because they don't have this, and this right, well, they must not be right with God. Well, want to see, well, where are they at? Are they making progress? Are they drawing close to the Lord? There might be some things to work through. And they've started from a different position than others, than I might have. And so I might have other things that I need to work through that I'm not even aware of. Everyone else might be aware of those things I need to work through, but I'm not. And so it's realizing the things and seeking to find that path that God has for us. Not becoming legalistic, not becoming lawless, but becoming people of the book and walking in liberty in the light of God's Word. Alright, so let's pray, and then we'll sing one more hymn before we close. Dear Father, we just thank You for Your Word, and we just pray again You would help us to find this balance in our life and just guide us into all truth. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.